We talk about Epiphany as if we knew what it was. It is one of those ancient, mysterious, exotic-sounding terms, but what does it actually mean? It's not a word that appears in the Bible, but it is a word that has value and is important to us. It means to disclose, to appear, to recognize, to see. It's as if the veil is pulled back, and it's kind of like an aha. Epiphany is this way of seeing something that otherwise may not have been clear and obvious and visible. So Epiphany in Matthew's gospel is when? There are several of them, but the first big one is when those mysterious strangers from Persia, those from the east. In the English text, it says the wise men, but the actual Greek there is magi. We three kings of Orient are. We don't know how many there were. Magi doesn't have a gender attached either, so we don't even know that about these mysterious ones who would come to that place and discover the boy. Okay, have you got your star? Hold it up again. I'm not holding you. I want you to now get a pencil and a Bible. See, we're going to go further yet, because down in front of you, I think there's a copy of the Bible. And look up Matthew chapter 2. It's on page 877, page 877 toward the front. Matthew chapter 2. Oh, very near the very back of the Bible. We're going to take a look at this Epiphany text, this moment, this occasion, this vision of what happened to those people back then. Because I'm going to make the case that it's not just an ancient story. It's not just something about them back in their time, in their place. Somehow it's my story too. That this little narrative works on me. That this is my story as well. Chapter 2 of Matthew 8:77. I'll just look at a little bit of it. The wise men, these magi, which is more correct, these folks from the east asked Herod, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews?" These travelers, these magicians, these astronomers have been looking and waiting and searching. They've been longing. So I'm going to suggest that there's a word. I'm going to, that's interesting how that came out. Would you on that start, don't write the word longing, but maybe if this really is not only a story about them, but a story about us, can you say something that you're longing for? Is there something in your own life toward which you look forward? I don't know, it might have to do with health. Might have to do with a relationship. Maybe, is it work? I don't know what that is for you. Maybe it's whatever is next. But on that arm of the star, and nobody's going to look over your shoulder. I'm not going to try to turn these in. You don't have to reveal or discuss this with anybody. This is for you, your own conversation with God. What is Kelly longing for? What is Juanita longing for? Or Debbie, or Justin, or Eric, or I could do all the names, but we'd be here all morning. Verse 3 says that when King Herod heard this, he was what? Frightened. King Herod was frightened. And then it goes on to say, and all Jerusalem with him. I've said it before, but you know this. Fear is contagious. Anxiety is infectious. When the boss is scared, everybody's scared, right? So what if on that one, you don't write the word fear, but maybe there are things that you wake up in the middle of the night staring at the ceiling, oh, this one's real. And I don't know if that's political or economic. I don't know for you if that's a personal thing. I don't know what you're afraid of. But if you're like me, maybe you're afraid of getting found out. Maybe you're afraid of losing something. You might even be afraid of death. But would you write what's true for you on that one? Further down in verses 9 and 10, the text says something like this: "Go search for the child." So they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were what? Yeah, it doesn't say they were happy. It says they were overwhelmed with joy. I'm not sure I can remember the last time I was overwhelmed with joy, when it was so captivating, when it occupied all of me to rejoice. But here we are now at this kind of cusp between what has been and what's next, between the year we finished and now the year we're starting. Is there anything in your mind, in your life, over which you rejoice? If you could write something honest on that part of the star, something that's true for you, what is the joy that's there? I'll just whisper to you what one of mine is. It's Stephen. He's probably getting on the airplane. I don't know. He's probably leaving the house right now. Before I left to come in here, I snuck into his room, and I just remembered when he was this big. He's not this big anymore. He's bigger than me. But giving him a big smack, you know, and smelling his hair and telling him I love him and do good in school and come back, you know, all that. My heart filled up. What's your joy? When you keep reading on in verse 11, on entering the house, they saw the Holy Family. They knelt down, and they opened their treasure chests and offered gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so moved, so glad, so impressed with the child, what do? They offered. They offered. Can you name the things in your own life for which you're most grateful? The things in your own life for which you are most grateful. Then you get all the way down to verse 12. And after a warning in a dream, Matthew's gospel loves dreams. But these wise ones, these magi, after a warning in a dream, they went home to their own country. But how did they go? The last phrase there? By another road. We've lifted this one up before. They went home differently. Maybe on a different road or a different way, or maybe the difference was here. What for you are the changes? If you were to look back over this last year and look ahead toward this next one, is there something going to be different? I know of at least one retirement. I don't know. What is it for you? One of my kids is talking about grad school. What is it for you? Which different way will it be? It's worth asking, where did these magi encounter Christ? Where? Where did they meet up with this Son of God? You could say that they met Christ in a stable 2,000 years ago in a little town called Bethlehem, and that would be true. Where did these magi collide with God's plan? You could say that it was in a particular historical context, in a real time and in a real place, complete with political intrigue, complete with the brutality at the hands of an anxious, tyrannical, lying, narcissistic pretender to the throne. That would be true too. That is where they met Jesus. That was really going on. You could also say that it was under a very dark sky over a whole community of people who were desperate for hope, for deliverance, for relief, for justice. That would also be true. But couldn't you also say that those magi encountered Christ in the same way that we do? They encountered Christ right where they were. Right where they were. So look at your star. Your longing. Your fear. Your joy. Gratitude. In the midst of all the changes that are going on for you. Where does Christ encounter you? In all that. Right here and right now. God on my star and in my star and for my star and with my star. We did an exercise a little bit like this a year ago, and I asked people to take that star, and you know, you could put it in your pocket, or you could put it in the offering plate, or you could put it in the pew. We were finding stars under the pews for days after we did that exercise last time, but you do with it what seems right. That if it can be a reminder for you that God is got you. In your fear, in your change, in your joy, in your gratitude, in all the changes and in the in-betweens of your life. God's here, and God is good. Amen.